I'm telling you what, keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And whether it's by death or rapture, when you step through that gate, you're going to say, I've made it. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Praise the Lord. How many believe you can make it tonight? Praise the Lord. Well, the rest of you can too, I promise you. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight from our one anothering messages, our series. I want you to know this was actually in the oven before revival, and we've had some good services. I haven't ministered on Sunday night. We had the revival, and so this has been several weeks past due. I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You know what the best way to get something out of the preaching is? What the best way is? It's from the very beginning, say, that's for me. That's the best way to get something out of it. And I have found that whatever the subject, God knows how to speak. God knows how to speak. You know, it's so interesting. This is maybe sharing a little bit of the craft. Maybe I shouldn't, but did you know when I'm listening to someone else preach, that's when I begin to hear so many things from God about messages that I'm going to preach? Just works that way. And God just, whatever the subject matter is, God knows how to speak to us. His word's a powerful thing. Amen. There's a common in vogue thing now that everybody wants somebody to speak a word into their life. Trouble is, that's usually a word of a person. This is the word we need spoken into our lives right here. Amen? Right here. This is a word we need spoken to. I'm not going to keep you long tonight. And I know you don't believe me, but I'm not. Ephesians chapter 4, would you stand for the reading of God's word? Thank you for honoring God's word through standing. And be ye kind one to another. Well, there's one message right there. Tenderhearted, there's another. But here's our message. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. That's the measure, that's the manner, that's the way that we forgive one another, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. In our one anothering series tonight, we're going to talk about forgiving one another. So, would you join me across the building in praying, but would you just begin with those words, God, the message is for me. Whatever said tonight, the message is for me. Let's pray. Father, we truly want you to speak to us. You love your people. You talk to your people. You're a father, and you instruct your people. Father, we need to hear your voice by the Holy Spirit. Make your word a living thing. Make your word, oh God, that which gets into the inner core of our heart and stirs us and challenges and lifts us. Lord, we just pray for that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Enable me to speak this word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Now, in our one anothering series, we've preached the other side of this. We've preached, confess your sins, confess your faults one to another. This is the other side. One side is confess one to another. The other side of it is forgive one another. You may have remembered that incident in Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania, when the man who delivered milk in the community, delivered milk to the Amish community, Charles Roberts, one day he took a gun and went into the one-room schoolhouse and he shot 10 girls and 5 of them died. You may not know that before the day was over, the grandfather of one of the victims went to the Roberts family and said, "We forgive you." Later that same day, several of the families that had lost victims, they went to Charles Roberts' widow with her little children and said, "We've come to show you that we're praying for you and we care about you." You may not know this, later the Amish donated money to take care of Charles Roberts' widow and her children. And one psychologist studying that whole history there, I just want to read the words of what he said. He said, "I think the most powerful demonstration of the depth of Amish forgiveness was when the members of the Amish community went to the killer's burial service at the cemetery. Several families, Amish families, who had buried their own daughters just the day before were in attendance, and they hugged the widow and they hugged other members of the killer's family. Here is the truth of the matter. If you take forgiveness out of Christianity, there is no Christianity. Christianity becomes something else. Now, there's two things. There's two kinds of forgiveness you got to have Christianity. Number one, you have to have the forgiveness of God. And the other thing to have Christianity, you have to have the forgiving of one another. You see, without the forgiveness of God, there is no salvation. But without forgiving one another, there's no receiving and experiencing salvation. Without forgiveness, there is no Christianity. You see, just a very simple definition of the word forgive. To forgive means to give up your anger, give up your resentment, give up your claim for retribution against someone. But the word literally, you've heard the word charisma and the gifts and all of that. You've heard that. Here's the interesting thing. Do you know the word for forgive is in that very root family of gifting, to give? And it literally means to give pardon. But the idea of gift is always with grace and kindness. So to forgive is with grace and kindness to give up your anger, resentment, and claim for retribution. The tack that I want to take tonight is this word forgive is so very often used in the world of finances. It's used with money. Jesus used forgiveness with the analogy of finances. So what does it mean to forgive somebody in the realm of money? It means that somebody owes you a debt. And yet to forgive them is to no longer require that they pay it. You don't go after them. You don't dun them. You don't go through legal channels to get the amount that's owed you. Instead, you write that debt off, and when you see them, you don't hold it against them. You don't remind them, you owe me so much money. You are in debt to me. You don't even seek to get the money. Why? You have forgiven the debt. How many knows God forgave the debt? How many knows he doesn't hold it against us or come knocking on our doors requiring something of us? And so the word forgive is used in the realm of finances and money. Let me just add one little thing here. You know, we have an expression, forgive and forget. And we get the word forget all mixed up. We think forget means to get it out of the memory. But you got to understand the word forget is in the realm of finances too. To forget it means you no longer require payment. Amen. I have owed Brother East some money. I haven't been able to pay him. I come to him and say, oh, I'm so sorry that I can't pay you that money. And he says, I have forgiven the debt. Forget it. That doesn't mean it's going to be erased from my mind or erased from his mind. It means it's no longer required. He's not going to hold or use it against me. Aren't you glad that God not only forgives, he forgets. Amen. And this is what we are to do, one to another. Now listen, I know it's always easier to point out to someone else and to tell them they need to forgive, but it's much harder when you're the one that's been offended. It's kind of like when I visit in the hospital. It's easy to say things from my side of the hospital bed. It's easy for me before I leave, like I do, say, look up. I'm not the one in the bed. I'm not the one sick. I'm not the one with the bad report. And it's easy to look at other people and say, well, they just need to forgive. It's another thing when we're the one that's offended. Completely different. You know, I think we do good at this. We teach our kids, one of the first lessons we teach our kids, and we reemphasize over, we teach our kids to say they're sorry. Have you noticed that? We work on that. Say you're sorry. Apologize. Say you're sorry. Apologize. That's good. I'm not taking away from that. But have you ever thought we maybe need to do a better job teaching our kids to forgive? We're pretty good. We get a star on that, teaching our kids to say they're sorry. And so our kids grow up being able to say they're sorry, but they don't grow up being able to forgive. Amen. Forgive one another. Amen. And so as we look at this, we got to realize something. It isn't that forgiveness does something to the one you forgive. Do you realize that most of the time when you forgive someone, it does nothing for them? Now, it could, and it may, but just because you forgive someone doesn't mean it means anything to them. It's kind of like with God. Did you know, to some folks, it means nothing to them that God has forgiven them through the blood of Jesus on the cross? The fact that God has forgiven means nothing, and that's the reason they never accept it. But for some of us, it means something that God has forgiven us. But the point I want tonight to make tonight is, I can't think of forgiveness in terms of what it's going to do to the person that's wronged me. It may do nothing to them. They may not resent it. They may not feel resentment. They may not feel sorry. They may not feel like they've done anything wrong. Forgiveness doesn't do anything to the one that's offended me. With my forgiving, it does something to me. Hallelujah. And what does it do? Let's talk about that. What does it do? You see, forgiveness takes away a burden that's too heavy to carry. If I have not forgiven, I am carrying a burden. If I have not forgiven, I have given my heart a great opportunity to grow bitterness, a root of bitterness. If I have not forgiven, there's a blockage in my experience of God. But when I forgive, those things are removed. Forgiveness does something to me. You see, when we don't forgive, we allow the one who has offended us to continue to hurt us. When we don't forgive us, we allow the one that's offended us to continue to exercise power over our thoughts and our emotions. In fact, we're in bondage to them. But when we forgive, we're free from that bondage. I'm not minimizing anything. I talk with people that have, as children, have been abused and molested, horrible, unspeakable things. I can't forgive them. Well, forgiveness isn't for them. Forgiveness is for you, to release you from that awful power. I have some interest in genealogy. And years ago, while still in Missouri, I discovered that my ancestors were from north of Knoxville there, and that my great-great-grandfather was from there. And so after moving here, I'd also discovered that there was a private hearse cemetery where my great-great-grandfather was buried. And I wanted to see that. So one anniversary, this is a great thing to do on your anniversary. I said to my wife, let's go to Gatlinburg. And then I said, on the way, we're going to find that hearse cemetery. Wasn't that romantic? And I'll never forget this. My great-great-grandfather at one time owned 25,000 acres of land. Very wealthy guy, he and his brother. But when I found, through other genealogy searches, when I found where that cemetery was, there was one of his descendants from a different line that still lived on the property. For both of us, let me tell you who the guy's name was, Squire Caldwell Hurst. For both of us, that was our great-great-grandfather. The only difference was he was a lot older than I was. We were the same generation, but he was 10, 15 years older than I was. And I knocked on the door of his house. He was real friendly. He talked with me. He said, you want to see the cemetery? We had to walk through the field and through the woods, and there's this little hearse cemetery, a lot of hearse buried there. We walked out of the woods up on the hill, and he began to tell me a story, how when Squire got older, some people moved in with him like they were going to take care of him and his wife. And they began to steal his money and steal his land. Now listen, this happened in the 1800s. And this same generation as I was. As he began to share that, you could see the venom rise up in him and bitterness rise up in him. And all of a sudden, as he told me that story, how they had stole our great-great-grandfather's money, he just stood there on that hill and said, I hate him. I hate him. Talking about the people that stole the money. I hate him. I mean, it happened in the 1800s. It meant nothing to that fella. He's in the grave somewhere. But yet, it was affecting the one who refused to forgive. Oh, forgiveness does so good. It does so good to be forgiven by God. And it does so good when we forgive. You see, the responsibility to forgive and the need to accept it are two different things. It doesn't matter if someone accepts it. It's the fact that we forgive. Here's the hardest thing. The hardest thing is our forgiving someone is not contingent upon the offenders asking us to forgive them. Let me say it again. I think I might have given that to you, Brother Durth. Our forgiving someone is not dependent on whether or not they have asked us to forgive. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember at the cross? What did Jesus say about those soldiers that had crucified him? And they were gambling over his garments. What did Jesus say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what... Let me ask you, do we have any record that any of those soldiers, at least at that point, do we have any record that the soldiers ask Jesus to forgive them? None. Not at all. See, whether forgive or not, it's not contingent upon their asking. Amen. You know, I know people, I can tell you, listen to me. I know of people, I can tell you this right now. They're never going to tell you they're sorry. And if you're waiting for them to ask you to forgive them, it's not going to happen. There's people like that in your personal private life. Some people in a twisted way, they're going to do wrong, but they never want to say, I'm sorry. They just want to go on like nothing's happened. But Jesus never waited for them to say, will you forgive me? He just forgave them. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he's like that? Hallelujah. Here's the reason we can and should forgive others. It's right here in our text. And be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We can forgive, and we should forgive, because God has forgiven us. If God has forgiven us of all those things we've done against him, and we can forgive those things that's done against us. You see, Jesus taught that our being forgiven, and here's where we're going to end tonight, just a few minutes, I got some scriptures to read, but Jesus taught us that our forgiving others, or excuse me, let me back up. He taught us that our being forgiven by God is contingent upon our forgiving others. Listen to when he taught us to pray, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Maybe you pray with me, we'll get up to that point. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Notice he uses the money term again for sins. He teaches we're forgiven as we forgive. You know, you say, this thing about money and debt, how does that hold? Is that still true today? Have you ever went to someone and said, I owe you an apology? Notice how you're using a money word again. I owe you an apology. It makes a great illustration. And so how we're going to end tonight, I want to read something to you that Jesus said. It happened as a part of Peter's story. And I'm going to try not to make any comments as I read this, but I probably won't be able not to make any comments, okay? But I won't make many. Here we go. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Now listen, I'm sorry. Peter thought he was being really generous. Lord, I'm pretty spiritual here. Should I forgive my brother seven times? And Jesus said, seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until seven times 70. Stay right there for a minute. But until seven times 70. You know, people like to play with the number game with this. First of all, they said, well, take that literally. Come on, you math teacher. Seven times 70 is 490. Well, that's enough, isn't it? Others want to get a little more involved and say, well, what Jesus meant was seven to the seventh power. Seven times, seven times, seven times, seven times, which does anyone know how much that would be? I cheated. I used a calculator. Does anyone know how many times that is? 823,543 times. That's a lot. But let me tell you something. Jesus wasn't talking about an exact number. And I'm glad. Because even if the number is as big as 490, what number would you and I be on with God forgiving us? How many feels like you pretty much would have already used up 490? So I'm going to believe in the exponent kind of thing. Even then, we might get in trouble. The point isn't a specific number. Jesus used numbers to say, you don't count when you're forgiven. It's not a matter of counting, a matter of counting. You just keep forgiving. And if that's hard with people, we sure appreciate that with God. Aren't you glad His mercies are new every morning? Aren't you glad you don't come to the end of your quota? And one time you get down and say, oh, God, forgive me. And God said, sorry, used them all up. Oh, we got to read on. Let's read on. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened to a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I didn't figure it out, but let's just say that's $1,000,000. But for as much as he had not to pay, he couldn't pay it. His Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Did you know often, see, there's no way he could pay. Did you know often there's no way to make something right? You just can't do it. You can't. Forgiveness is the only way. Verse 26. The servant, therefore, he's going to be sold, his wife, his children, everything. He fell down and he worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. And by the way, it cost the king something to forgive. It cost him $1,000,000. Did you know forgiveness really does cost us something? Let's read on. Verse 28. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Let's say $20. And he laid hands on him, the one forgiven $1,000,000, and took him by the throat, the one that owed him 20, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, now notice, these are the same words that the one that owed $1,000,000 cried out to his king about. The fellow servant fell down saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, the one who had previously owed $1,000,000, but he went and cast him who owed $20 into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity upon thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise, here's Jesus' application, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Our being forgiven is contingent upon our forgiving. This is Christianity. This is being born again. This is new life in our hearts. Amen. Music, would you come? Let me tell you this. Years ago in my pastoring here, I went to see a man in the hospital. He was dying of cancer. Didn't go to our church. And out in the hall before I went in, one of the family members apprised me and said, the man that was dying, he's really bitter at one of his sons. So I went in there, introduced myself, and I always said something like, you know, the doctor comes in here to take care of your body. I'm a pastor. I've come in here to talk to you about your soul. I began to talk to him and really felt I was getting through to him with the gospel. And I really felt like he was ready to pray for salvation. So I asked him that. And he was ready to pray. But having heard what I heard out in the hall, I said, you know, before we pray, I want to share something with you. And I didn't read it or quote it. I shared the story that I just read to you. I said, do you understand before we pray that if God forgives you, then you'll need to forgive the one you're so bitter against? And he asked the question. He said, you mean that I can't be forgiven unless I'm willing to forgive? And I said, that's what the scripture said. And he said these words. He said, I guess I won't be forgiven then because I'm not going to forgive him. And shortly he went in eternity without God. Here's the whole point. Whatever figures you want to use, however I've been hurt, done wrong, God forgave me $1 million. Amen. Aren't you glad he did? Oh, one of the best things you can do is lift your hands and say, I'm forgiven. Therefore, I am free to forgive others. Would you stand across the building? Thank you, Father, for your word. It's your word, not mine. Thank you, Lord, you speak to your people through your word. I would really like to believe that I'm not here just giving you the next installment in a series. That's what it was. It was the next installment in a series. But I would hope that God would speak to our hearts in many, many different ways. And there's some people that's been hurt awfully bad. And I haven't minimized from any of that with preaching what I'm preaching. I'm just preaching the only way to freedom and victory and rightness with God. Amen. Bitterness is an ugly thing. The root of bitterness whereby many be destroyed. Amen. There's lots of occasions to be bitter in life. But remember something. He drank the bitter cup for us. Aren't you glad he drank that bitter cup? He took the venom that so destroys us. He took it in his body. Hallelujah. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Hallelujah. One more time. Let's thank him for forgiving us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You suffered my bitterness. You suffered my hurt. You were wounded with my wounds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I want to invite everyone to the altar to pray tonight. Let's have a visitation with God. Let God move in our hearts. Would you do that? God bless you. Come ahead into the altars. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Now to do the impossible, forgiveness. Everything you have just to say the word forgiveness.